From politics to the paranormal, this is the Dallas Ryan Show. All right. In our first segment, I thought we'd start off with a little something a little more lighthearted and talk about some pet peeves. I found a list of pet peeves that have been voted on by anonymous people on Ranker.com. I'm not going to go through all of them, but if you go to Ranker.com and search for pet peeves, you'll find the list. Number one is when people copy your idea but get credit for it. I don't know anybody who hasn't had that happen. Number three is rudeness. That's obvious. Number four, messy, unflushed toilets. Yeah, you gotta get rid of the turds before you leave the bathroom. Number six, people that turn almost everything into an argument, which is the main reason I'm happily divorced, because I don't like to argue, unless it's something fun like politics or sports. But number seven, interrupting. And I just happen to be the most interrupted person in the history of mankind, so that would probably be being interrupted. It'd probably be number one on my list. Let's see. Number nine is continued arguing after being proven wrong. Yeah. Invasions of personal space came in at number 11. Talking over other people, which that's the same as interrupting. You just take the interrupting to a whole other level because you just get louder and louder until somebody just submits. Number 14 is slow internet. That's a first world problem there. Let's see. I thought there was another. Chewing with your mouth open is kind of annoying. That came in at 19. I would think that would be a little higher. Strong body odor is number 20. Number 21, people who are proud of their ignorance, or anybody who works in Washington, D.C. When you ask someone for something and they do the exact opposite, that not only has that happened to me, I've been guilty of that sin. People not responding to yes or no questions is number 23. Let's find one more. Endless commercials at number 29. I don't listen to a lot of radio, any broadcast live radio anymore because I listen to satellite radio or podcasts or streaming. But anytime you have a station that plays endless commercials, anytime you have a station that plays 2 hours of commercial-free music, you can bet your ass that you're going to have 20 minutes of music-free commercials before that starts. So that was in that list. I've got a couple of my own. When people say quote unquote would be one that I've been stuck on a lot lately, because you can't unquote. If you unquote something, it's no longer a quote. You have to end the quote. So you could just say quote and say the quote and leave it at that, or say quote and then say end quote, but you can't unquote it. That's just not even a thing. It is what it is. And I don't know why that just irks me so bad, but nothing in this universe could ever be anything other than what it is. So I guess it's the redundancy of that statement. People who always have to one-up you, like, you know, the people in your lives that, let's just say you've got, you could be telling them that you had the most aggressive form of cancer that's ever been discovered in history, And they would tell you that they had it twice. Those kind of people. People who always have to one-up you. And this is, I've only ever heard, or I'm the only person I know of that complains about this, but, and when you go into a kitchen that's not yours, and odds are you're not going to know where anything is. But I just cannot figure out why the cups are not always in the cabinet closest to the refrigerator. And I guess for that matter, why your plates aren't nearer to the stove. At least that's how. I mean, if you got Kool-Aid or tea or whatever you may have, orange juice in the refrigerator, wouldn't it be mighty convenient to have your cup, glass, or mug in the cabinet next to the refrigerator? But hey, that's just some of my stuff there. So anyway, that's just some pet peeves for us to complain about or laugh at. It's kind of funny, actually. I want to talk briefly about mass incarceration. I say briefly because hopefully in the future can have a guest, an expert guest, to go more in depth on the subject. But this is some information from the ACLU. They say that despite the United States making up only 5% of the global population, we have nearly 25% of the world's prison population. So we're nowhere near the top in total population. We have a quarter of the prison population globally. It also says since 1970, the population of people incarcerated has increased by 700% since 1970. That's 2.3 million people in jail and prison today, far outpacing population growth and crime. There are twice as many people sitting in local jails waiting on a trial and presumed innocent, supposedly presumed innocent. That's really a myth. But there's more people. There's twice as many people in local jails than there are in the entire federal prison system. And the local jails and county jurisdictions and judicial districts are all, they're just plea bargain mills is all they are. Each year, 650,000 men and women nationwide are released back into their communities from prison. 650,000 people, and they face nearly 50,000 federal, state, and local legal restrictions that make it difficult to reintegrate into society, to find jobs, to you can't vote. So the people that are most affected by politicians are the people who are in the criminal injustice system in the United States. The people that are most affected by politicians are the people that are not allowed to vote to change them. The people that politicians pass laws to affect the most have no say in who those politicians are. It just baffles me. I don't know what in the hell a criminal record, a felony, has to do with voting. I got an idea of where the concept came from, but I guess a different discussion for another day. But we don't really do a lot in this country to help people when they're coming out of prisons. Maybe we should use our prison system as, we should be locking people up that we're scared of, not just people that we're mad at. And nobody should ever have to sit in jail or hire a lawyer or pay a fine or go to court on a ticket or go to jail or go to prison ever for anything that happens between two consenting adults that doesn't infringe on the rights of anyone else, no matter what it is. In a truly free society, you should be able to do anything you want to do that doesn't harm others or infringe on another person's rights. That's a simple concept, but everybody gets on their soapboxes and they're get so full of their self-righteous indignation that they got to pass laws to tell other people how to live and then call it freedom. Our prison system costs taxpayers $80 billion a year. $80 billion per year for the prison system. And you would think that we could find something better to do with $80 billion a year. Especially when a lot of that money goes to a good bit of that money goes to private prisons who make profit off of people being in their prisons. So they spend money to lobby lawmakers, to lobby politicians, to pass laws to make sure that their prisons stay full. They make profit from putting people in cages. Private prisons make profit from putting people in cages. Look in the mirror, say that out loud, and if you don't think that's fucked up, we're just not on the same page, I guess. Private prisons make profit putting people in cages. Think about that. Talk a little about politics, and by politics I mean political parties. Let me read you a quote. "There's nothing which I dread so much as a division of the Republic into two great parties, each arranged under its leader and concerting measures in opposition to each other. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution." Now you could say that most likely could come from, I don't know, any time in the last 60 years. That was John Adams in a letter he wrote to Jonathan Jackson in 1780. John Adams, being one of the more underrated founding fathers, knew the dangers of political parties, and I would say that it's never been more relevant than the last 10 years. And under Trump, it became more obvious because, and I'm not blaming Trump for this, but this is a couple hundred years before Trump, this problem started, people were more vocal about loyalty to a president and loyalty to a political party. And voters were mad, upset if somebody didn't go along with the president or the party. And I say Trump because everything was louder during his presidency, but it's certainly a bipartisan issue because Democrats do the same thing. If libertarians were in power, they would do the same thing. If the Green Party was in power, they would do the same thing. If Ross Perot's Reform Party was in power, it'd be the same way, at least eventually. Because political parties are about power. They build power and wealth. Some, I mean, I don't know. Hell, being a public servant is pretty good business in this country. Just ask Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi. But once parties and, you know, the two dominant parties, obviously Democrats and Republicans in the United States, once they reach a level to where they're at today, where they're just, it's power stacked on top of power, held up by power and money, to the point where you, the people that you elect to represent you, they don't represent you. They represent the political party they're affiliated with. If they got an R beside their name, they represent the Republican Party, and the Republican leadership tells them what to think, when to vote, how to vote, how not to vote, what to say, what not to say. And if you don't, stay in line, if you step out of line, then they're going to gang up on you and boot you out. They're going to primary you and do their level best to get you out of the party. Because they don't want you there representing the people who put you there. They want you there to represent the party, because the party holds the power, and it's all about the power. Same with the Democrats. If you're bucking Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and you know, and then the party leaders before them, how ridiculous is it that we don't even vote on stuff in the United States Congress until they know how it's going to turn out? Anyway, how much do you think could get done in this country if congressional votes were anonymous, at least for a certain amount of time? Because people vote how their party tells them to. And now it's to the point where if you voted for a Democrat, and that Democrat maybe co-sponsored a bill with a Republican, well, you're automatically against that. It doesn't make a damn whether it benefits you or not, or benefits the country or the world as a whole. If nowadays, if somebody crosses a party line to actually make a law, to actually do something, and you know, in each Congress, in a Congress that's more inept every time than the Congress before, then you're the Republican term for it is a rhino, Republican in name only. If God forbid they actually work with somebody with a different opinion, a different viewpoint, a different ideology, to get something done for the American people. And it used to be that was something the American people complained about, but now, hell, we that's what we vote for. We want to argue, and we want to back, and we want the loud mouth. It doesn't matter what they're saying, as long as they say it loudly and it looks good on TV, and it's fucking pathetic. It's like we want the Kardashians. We want that level of entertainment, and government is supposed to be boring. There's nothing. Government shouldn't be exciting. Government should be boring. It shouldn't. The president or the majority and minority leaders of each party shouldn't be making the news every day. There shouldn't be shouting matches back and forth just for the benefit of TV cameras to make somebody look good, to quote, tell it like it is, because that's what. Just because you're saying something loudly or saying whatever comes to your mind doesn't mean you're telling it like it is. You're telling it how you think it is. But 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be how it really is, because if you're that boisterous in your opinion, that's especially for a lot of politicians based on ignorance and not in reality, you're not telling it how it is. You're just talking loud. You're just talking over people. You're just bullying people. You're just trying to, I don't want to say be an attention whore, but I guess if you're going to be a politician, that's what you got to be. Especially if you're in the House of Representatives, you're running for election as soon as you get elected. With elections every 2 years, there's no term limit. So the people who can amass the connections, the power, and the money are just, you know, there until they die. And all that is enabled and backed by political parties. Political parties are private organizations funded by taxpayers. And it doesn't make sense to me. I think political parties should be outlawed in the United States. Well, everywhere, but you know, all we can worry about is the United States. There shouldn't be a Republican Party. There shouldn't be a Democrat Party. You shouldn't be allowed to caucus with people and amass power and tell other congressmen how to vote. And if they don't vote that way, then they're not going to have, they're going to get kicked off committees, or they're going to get, they're not going to have any influence. And basically they're going to be feckless. They're not going to have any power. They're not going to be able to do anything for their constituents, the people that actually want to. So do away with the, why not do away with the political parties? And then we don't have Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi and all the public posturing for the TV cameras and for the Twitter feeds and the Instagram stories, all to look good and to create sound bites for cable opinion shows, and none of that is helpful to the American people. Never has been. It never will be. If you want to start an organization that and amass a lot of wealth and power, then by God, don't do it with the taxpayers' dollars and pay taxes on that wealth and on that power. So we talked about pet peeves, mass incarceration, and political parties. Not a lot of in-depth discussion, but I wanted to get an episode out there. The first episode is also the trial episode of this podcast. And maybe the second episode, I'll put together something a little longer. We're going to have some guests coming on. And I'm gonna get social media up with links to leave voicemails that I can include in the podcast. And we'll come up with some fun topics, some serious topics. Hope maybe some helpful tips and tricks. I don't know where I'd be today if I hadn't Googled things you could do with a stand mixer. So maybe some life hacks, some top 10 lists, useless facts. Those are always fun. So, yeah. It's going to be probably a show about everything and nothing. So, look to have some fun. And an extra little hobby. So thank you for listening, and I look forward to the next episode.